Good morning. Exodus 17. We'll do the rest of the chapter. Last week we saw the first few verses, the first seven verses, where God provided water from the rock. That rock is Jesus. Today we're seeing the Lord is my banner. That's a declaration that Moses would write. The Lord is my banner. Let's read together Exodus 17. Verse 8 onwards, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some men and go out, fight Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the mount, on the hill, with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah, or Yahweh Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray together as we start. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for fighting for us. Thank you so much for strengthening our feeble knees and hands. Lord, thank you so much for healing us. Thank you for leading us and guiding us in all your ways. But as Moses declares, you are a banner, Lord. You are a flag. In you we win and in you we live. You are our identity, Lord. We are known as those who belong to you. Teach us this morning, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the journey started smooth. They exited Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. They hungered and thirsted. God provided, but now it's time for war. Now we know that Israel had not had any military preparations, no military training whatsoever. And Amalek comes from behind and attacks. The Israelites did not even provoke the Amalekites to war. They were just journeying. They're just going home. The Amalekites were actually nomads there in the wilderness, and these are their relatives. Amalek was a grandson to Esau. We find that in Genesis 36:12. So these are their relatives, and they're attacking them for no reason whatsoever. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 to 18, Moses refers to this very incident. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers, all who had at the rear, when you are tired and weary, and he did not fear God. So Amalek did this. He waylaid them, we'd call it an ambush, and not at the front, not even in the middle, but at the back. Remember, the back are the old, the tired. Those were just walking at their pace. And the Bible actually later on records that they did that not only to wound the children, the aged, and those who were weak, but they would also take their spoil. And Moses says to Joshua, this is the very first time he's mentioned, we didn't even know he has any military capabilities. Take some men with you and it's time to fight. I'm sure there's so much panic in the Israeli camp because none of them was prepared for this. They didn't even have, let's say, guards on the sides walking to guard them. They were just journeying, and all of a sudden, a few of them are being killed and lots of their property being taken away. It's time to fight now. Take some men with you, and it's time to war. Tomorrow I'll go up on the hill, on the mount, and I'll take with me the rod of God, and you guys will fight. This is a very unique way to fight, by the way. All Moses was going to do is go on top the hill and lift up the rod He calls it the road of God. That was the road that God had used to perform miracles. And Joshua down the valley is going to be with his men fighting against the attack of Amalek. So they did. Moses' hands were getting tired. And each time his hands were low, the Amalekites were prevailing. Each time his hands were high up, Israel was winning. It doesn't take very long for your hands to feel like they're 20 kgs heavy. How long do you have to keep your hands up for them to feel heavy? Just a few minutes. You can imagine how all day Moses had to have his hand up with a rod. And in just a few minutes, he's getting tired, and then he has to put it back up. I remember in primary school, we had this punishment that you had to stand at the corner, and some of us would actually go to the corner and just sleep off. You can imagine. Just a few minutes of inactivity, your body feels like it's dropping. He needed a few men to support him. So they put for him a stone to sit on. Initially, he was standing. Can't even stand anymore from morning to evening, remember? He had to have a seat, and then two men had to hold his hands up. Now, you can imagine, if you're holding somebody's hand up, your hand is also up, right? So you're going to have as much exertion as the person you're helping, but no doubt this was a posture of complete dependence and surrender to God. Moses goes up the hill and says, God, you are the one who can fight for us. Joshua is just going to do what he needs to do to protect the people, but we do not know how many they are. We don't know how strong they are. We're not prepared for any battles yet. Only you can fight for us. And the battle rages on until evening, and with help, holding his hands up, victory was theirs. God gave them victory. Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side. Hur is actually said to be Moses' brother-in-law, and God promises that he would utterly blot out these descendants of Amalek from under heaven. There's a famous Amalekite in scriptures in Esther chapter 3 verse 1. His name was Aman. His plan was to wipe out the entire nation of Israel. I think he's the last mentioned Amalekite. And they hated God's people for no reason whatsoever. Israel had not done anything to offend them, to attack them. They had not robbed their crops or anything offensive. Remember, God had promised Abraham, those who bless you, they will be blessed. But those who hurt you are going to be cursed. They're going to be in trouble. Amalek tries to prevent God's people from going home. He lost the battle. And all of them are going to be wiped out. You can imagine. All his descendants, all the descendants of Amalek are going to be completely removed from the face of the earth. Do you feel for people like Amalek? They hate God's people for no reason. The descendants of Ishmael are as hostile, and they're going to be as hostile to Israel as Amalek was. And God is going to judge them as well. Later on, we'll find the Edomites also will be completely wiped out. In our age, you know who is against God's people? The Arabs. All of them will be wiped out. Nobody goes against God's people and stands. This not only is a picture of surrender to God, as Moses does, God, we are powerless, we are weak, we are unprepared for war. Only you can fight for us. It's also a picture of supporting one another. Moses needed a lot of support to stand there with his hands up all day. Can you try it this morning or this afternoon when you go home? Just go outside your house and put up your hands all evening. You won't make it for more than an hour. You'll need people in just a few minutes, 20 minutes down the road, you'll call people from the house, hey, please come and hold up my hand. It's a picture of strengthening each other through this journey. Now, Moses is one man who could have fought really very well. Now he's all he can't. Remember in Egypt, he tried to free God's people by a fist fight. It didn't work. He's the one who has learned to trust in the Lord and is not even going to be involved in the active fist fight. He's going to be on a hill, completely given to God. Through this journey is going to be a lot of battles. Did you know that? Are you fighting some already? Whether we know it or we don't, this journey is full of fights. It's full of battles. At every stage of the journey are going to be difficulties. And not just difficulties, enemies coming against us. I had a man who had a large piece of land somewhere prime in the city, and he was framed. Somebody big in the country wanted his land, so he was framed to have killed his wife. The wife he lived with, the wife he loved. So this guy rallied some witnesses against this neighbor of his that he killed his wife. Police came in, took him to jail, and he was sentenced to death. And on that very day, his wife was in court to testify that she wasn't murdered, she's alive. Like, that's my husband, she's alive. I mean, he didn't kill me, right? That's false. But nobody heard his pleas. I mean, her pleas. And the guy was sentenced to death for just his own property. You can imagine. That's just my land. But because somebody wants it, you know, he petitioned, obviously, he's out. But he says that the moment he was pronounced to be killed, the death sentence pronounced on him, he got an instant headache and he lost half his sight because of the trauma. His eyes grew dimmer and he developed a headache that has no solution whatsoever, just because of his land. He didn't offend anyone. And there are people like that, and we will be in places like that. All you're doing is what you're supposed to do, and somebody comes against you for no reason whatsoever. And we have to be aware. We are at war, and we need each other's support in this battle. There's no Christian who is going to stand alone. God did not create us to stand alone, and we need to be around one another, lifting each other's hands up. Praying for one another, it's a posture not only of a surrender to God, but a posture of prayer and worship. We stand around each other to pray, to worship together, and that's where our strength comes from. Well, if your hands are really so weak, please go to the gym as well. Right? Go do some push-ups and leg raises and sit-ups. Get strong physically. But more than physical strength, we have to have spiritual strength. We have to stand around each other and pray and support each other as this journey continues. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 3 to 4, the prophet said, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you." All of us need to hear that almost every day. The sun rises and there's a fight, there's a battle right outside our house in the middle of the journey or towards the end of the day. And we need all of us. We need to be around each other. That's why there are fellowship groups in this church, and maybe some of you can't come during the week, but wherever there's a fellowship in your area, please go during the week. And pray with other Christians and study the Word with other Christians and worship with other Christians. We need that. The moment that is lacking, tell you what, we won't be fighting very well. We won't be as strong for the battle. The writer of Hebrews would write the very same thing in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight the paths for your feet. For that what is lame, so that rather what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." Anybody around us with feeble knees, with weak hands, needs strength. Now, let me say this too. There are people who are very difficult to strengthen. So you'll come and you know their hands are hanging low. You need to lift their hands up and they're like, leave me alone. Go away. We have friends like that. I have friends like that. And you know for sure they're weak. They need strength. They need prayer. Maybe they need food, whatever they need. And they're pretending they're okay. Leave me alone. And you're thinking, I can't leave you alone. You need help. And if you're that person, please don't be difficult and complicated. Admit I am weak. Please lift my hands up. Please pray for me. I need this or I need that. Please help me if you can. And we are designed and meant to support each other, and we are obliged to. So if you're that difficult friend that just locks themselves away from people pretending you're fine and you're not, please open your door and receive support. We need it. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Moses would have been on that hill alone. Tell you what, as leaders, sometimes we are on a hill and we are alone. But we're not meant to be alone. We need everybody with as many hands as possible, many feet, many effort to stand. You feel like your burden is so heavy, please share it. In our pride and our strive to be self-sufficient, we get really tired and worn. And we do well to say, you know what, guys, I'm feeling so burdened. I'm feeling so heavy. I feel like this load is going to break me. Please come babysit for me for a day. Please bring me some lunch. I'm hungry. Please pray for me. And tell you what, people will come and pray for you and support you, and we all win, don't we? The victory is won when all of us are in support towards each other. All of us win. Nobody loses. Remember, Amalek is attacking the weak ones. Amalek is attacking those who seem to be lagging behind, the slow ones, the tired ones. He is also attacking to take away what Israel is carrying for the journey. And when each one of us experiences some kind of attack, please notify, please call. We have phone lines. We have WhatsApp groups in this church. We have so many groups, and you need to be part of these things and put it there. Please pray for me. I'm going through this. Please, somebody come and visit me. Somebody will visit you. That's why we're here. Amen? Don't be there thinking, oh, I'm here by myself. I don't know anybody. Once you come here, this is your family. Get to know people. Be participating in everything that happens here. And we will be of much support towards each other, and all of us will win. All of us will be safe, and all of us will win. The one danger of trying to be at the flanks and slow and receiving no support is that Amalek will come for you. But the moment we are bound together, arms together, praying together, fellowship together, participating in everything together, we will all be safe and we'll all be strong. Amen? In Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 28, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, the Bible says, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Paul writes to this Philippian church saying, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, especially when you stick to one another. When you are under the same roof and striving together in the same faith. And that's the mission of our local church. Every local church around the world. We stick together, we fight together, we warm each other together, we pray together, we learn together, we worship together. Amen? There are those people who wander from church to church to church to church. They never grow, and they are not in any way safe when they're attacked. Because nobody sees them regularly. If you come to this church one day and then you go to 10 other churches through the next 10 weeks, how will we know that you need support? How will we know that you need help? Well, how will we know your face? We just saw you visiting and you disappeared. Let's stand fast in one spirit. Let's strive together for the faith of the gospel. Amen? And he had to say, don't be terrified of those adversaries, those enemies of yours, those enemies of ours. It is proof right here that God will take care of them. If they don't get saved, God will take care of them and blot them out of the face of the earth. But for us, it's salvation. And that is from the Lord. So anybody coming for bridge today? Are you? And then Moses was instructed by the Lord, write this down as a memorial, because I am going to fight Amalek for generations. And Moses wrote it down, and he wrote this banner that says, the Lord is my banner, this signpost. He basically says, God is our symbol of strength and victory. You know what a banner is? It says of who you are. It mentions of what you do, who you belong to. In branding, in marketing, everybody has a banner, right? Everybody has a motto. Everybody has a phrase to front out there in competing for the same market. Churches do have banners. I found some online. There's this church that had this below their logo. This generation must shine international ministries. How do you like that? There's one that said, this was actually their name, Run for Your Life International Chapel. It's a church that had this below their name, there is no future in your past. Isn't that true? One had, you are on heaven's most wanted list. That's a good one. When life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. Then there is this one in Lagos somewhere. All the hot girls in Lagos attend Pastor Fireman's church. So you come early. This is a good one. Weather forecast. God reigns, sun shines, sun with all. Looking for a lifeguard, ours walks on water. And then there is this one, Mountain of Swallowing Problems International Prayer Ministry. And we're a bunch of comedians. And I discover most of them are in Nigeria. Moses declares, God is our symbol of victory. A banner is a flag. Every nation has an emblem. A national anthem, a coat of arms. Moses says, the Lord is our coat of arms. The Lord is our flag. The Lord is our anthem. The Lord is our symbol of unity and victory. We may have so many differences. There are so many differences in this camp. This camp has so many roles. Joshua is going to fight. Moses is just going to lead with his staff. And others are going to do different things. But they are all under the same banner. The Lord is the one in charge. There are those who accuse Christians of being divided. We're not divided. We're just different. Some are more weird than others. That's all, right? We are all the same under the same Lord. Well, let's say some are more selfish than others or greedy than others. But besides all those external differences, God is our symbol of victory. And this banner is really Jesus on the cross. In Psalm 20, verses 5 to 7, the psalmist wrote, we will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners, our flags. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember who? The name of the Lord. There are those who have guns. There are those who have horses. There are those who have mighty weapons. I was just looking through how detailed some people's security is, and I'm thinking, wow, that's quite impressive. But without the Lord, that is nothing. Everybody on that security detail is nothing without the Lord. Some may depend on everything earthly for their safety. We need to rest in the Lord. The Lord is our banner. And in His name we set up banners, signs, and symbols that we are completely His. The psalmist again in Psalm 60 verse 4, "You have given a banner to those who fear You, that it may be displayed because of the truth." God gives us His identity. God gives us His victory. And the psalmist there says that God has given us a flag of victory. You've seen every match has a flag. There's one that I saw, I think, towards the elections or during the campaigns. And these guys had a flag, a banner. It says, "The Uganda National Association of the Uneducated." I don't even know how they wrote the words. And they're campaigning for us, their candidate. I'm like, wow. We put out a banner. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, he actually mentions that that banner is a root of Jesse, whose name is Jesus. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, a grandson, that is, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious." In that day, it's a prophecy of the crucifixion of the Lord. It says, the root of Jesse, a grandson of Jesse, Jesus Christ, is going to stand, and the Gentiles shall look for him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Heaven is our destination. When the Lord stands very clear and loud as a banner, you know where we're going. We are going to a home that He has prepared for us. Just like these Israelites are journeying to that home that God promised them, that land flowing with milk and honey, we are on our way to heaven, and we have to have our flags high. His name is Jesus, and He's calling all nations to Himself. In fact, He is calling nations through each one of us. When you walk around with your banner of salvation, you're basically announcing that that's where you belong and anybody is invited. So you go home and make a banner that says, "The Lord is whom I follow. The Lord is the one I worship. The Lord is the one who fights. And when He fights, He does not lose, does He? We are sure we will win 100% of our battles, because it's not just our feeble knees or our weak hands. It is God behind us. It is our surrender to God. God, we are weak. We are strong. We can only do a little. And in You, and when we stand with each other under the same name, under the same Lord, under the same Spirit, You grant us victory. Amen. So let's walk this journey knowing God is fighting for us. In fact, if you're walking in this journey and you're not in a fight, please check if you're following the same Lord. The fact that you are a Christian registers you automatically to a fight. There's an enemy coming after you. There's an enemy coming after us. And we have to be aware. And when it happens, be aware and rest assured, God is fighting for us. Amen? All we have to do is stand with each other. All we have to do is stand arms together, worshiping together, studying together, singing together, praying together, and holding our hands high in surrender to God. Let's stand and pray. Exodus 17 is a great picture of God's power. The rock being struck and all of us drinking. That's Jesus Christ. Moses, Hur, and Aaron lifting their hands in support to one another, and God giving them victory. Let's hold hands and pray together. Let's hold hands. Lord, thank You so much for leading us, oh God. Lord, we're all under You. Lord, You're watching over us. And Lord, we just lift up our hands together. We just join hands together in saying we belong to You. And Lord, that in every battle, You are the one fighting for us. In every battle, Lord, you are our identity, you are our unity, and you are our victory, O God. And I pray that daily we may stand to support each other in every way. Lord, that we may stand to receive support from one another, Lord. May none of us think they can walk this journey alone and on their own. None of us can. Lord, you've given us brothers and sisters who are gifted differently. You've given us the Joshuas and the Aarons and the Hars to be of support to each other. So Lord, we want to pray for strength, Lord. May you strengthen each one of our hearts, O God. May you strengthen our minds. When this journey gets difficult, O God, may we completely depend and surrender to you, O God. When one of us hurts, O God, may we run to their support, to their rescue. May we stand together under the same care, under the same Lord and the same Spirit, O God, under the same word and truth that you give us every day. May we raise our voices together to honor your name. You are our banner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.